by chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Right smack dab in the middle of it. Right smack dab in the middle. We are right smack dab.
The Secret Truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
This is George Butler. Welcome to the program. Coming up is a replay, a rebroadcast of an interview that Charlotte Littlefield Brown and I had with Todd Fletcher. Todd Fletcher was the editor and researcher for David Ray Griffin, and we'll be discussing tonight cognitive infiltration, and basically the book that David Ray Griffin wrote and Todd Fletcher edited and researched had to do with a paper that was written a number of years earlier, and the name of it was Conspiracy Theories, Causes and Cures, by Cass Sunstein. Now, why that name is important is that Cass Sunstein is married to Samantha Power. And Samantha Power now is coming under scrutiny of Congress for the unmasking scandal that popped up during all of this attack on Trump that the Democrats have launched. Well, this unmasking scandal is beginning to have Congress's interest, and they're beginning to want to call in Samantha Power and other people. But getting back to Cass Sunstein now, is that in this interview that Charlotte and I had with Todd Fletcher a number of years ago, we were talking about this paper that was written by Cass Sunstein. And in there, he proposed, and I'll read verbatim what it says in the report. It's on the web, and we have it to where you can download it off of our site. But it's entitled, again, Conspiracy Theories, Causes and Cures. And they're proposing, he and his co-author are proposing ways to infiltrate groups and so forth and to try to break them up. But I think one of the primary conspiracy groups that there's this focused in on and targeted, in my opinion, would be the 9/11 truth groups. These 9/11 truth groups probably pose the greatest danger to the deep state. And many people in the 9/11 truth movement believe that the deep state pulled off the 9/11 attack. See, and so there, Todd Fletcher produced several shows for Bonnie Faulkner, Guns and Butter, on the West Coast. And so he's not, he's very knowledgeable. He also edited and researched 9 of the 10 books that David Ray Griffin wrote on 9/11. Now, I would have to rate David Ray Griffin at the top of the expose authors, I would say, of the 9/11. And he's written 10 books, and when you write 10 books on the subject, you're really dedicated to bringing the truth out. So in his pursuit of truth, and Todd Fletcher, I believe, y'all, he researched and edited 9 of those 10 books. Now, we'll be discussing tonight one of David Ray Griffin's books entitled Cognitive Infiltration. And the reason why David Ray Griffin was not guest tonight was, I believe, he was in the hospital at the time. And so because Todd Fletcher did most of the research and editing of his books, then he knows quite a bit about the subject. So anyway, that's coming up in a few minutes here. Further expanding on this Cass Sunstein and his views, he is the most cited, according to some sources, in the judiciary, for the legal, you could say from the attorney side, of people that have quoted him and cited him in reports and white papers and so forth of any attorney in the country. So he's had a great influence, but his influence, in my opinion, is right in the middle of being unconstitutional. In his view, he's written extensively, and his idea is like one book that he's written recently about the internet is that the internet is and all the ideas and so forth on the internet today is presenting a danger and a threat to democracy. Well, my gosh, the right to free speech, the First Amendment, and so forth. I think the internet has actually strengthened our democracy and made that people in power, who he represents, Cass Sunstein, represents the insiders at the top of the Democratic Liberal Progressive Party. He does not represent the average working person in this country. That's why he's on the engineering, collective engineering side of the political spectrum. He, in his opinion, and this is my opinion about what I've done and read extensively on what he's written and expressed opinions on. And in my opinion, Cass Sunstein is most of the time, on the administrative law unconstitutional side of issues. That's basically the way I see him. So he wants to engineer and make and control the society through certain decisions, through certain interpretations of the Constitution and law. People on the other side would be called the Patriot group or community, and therefore unfettered restrictions of their freedoms and liberties. I believe this is the reason why Trump was elected to office. I believe that the American public in general is fed up with big government. I think Cass Sunstein represents that big government, and they just have had enough of it, see. In this paper, under the 3I section entitled Cognitive Infiltration and Persuasion by Cass Sunstein, here's what he says in his white paper entitled Conspiracy Theories, Causes, and Cures. Rather than taking the continued existence of the hardcore as a constraint and addressing itself solely to the third-party mass audience, government might undertake legal tactics for breaking up the tight cognitive clusters of extremist theories, arguments, and rhetoric that are produced by the hardcore and reinforce it in turn. What potentially promising tactic is cognitive infiltration of extremist groups. By this, we do not mean 1960s-style infiltration with a view to surveillance and collecting information, possibly for use in future prosecutions. Rather, we mean that government efforts might succeed in weakening or even breaking up the epistemological complexes that constitute these networks and groups. So right there in this white paper, he's for going to go in and breaking up up the groups and through ideas. We're talking about an idea field here. The people that practice magic are in this same cluster of communities, if you could say. He's calling about a cluster of groups and so forth. But the occult, this is occult thinking when you go in and try to change people through the idea-based system of thought and so forth. So that's what we're looking at, is that we're looking at the people at the top, not only Cass Sunstein, but others, like Samantha Power now is being drawn into this unmasking scandal, see? Now, I don't know what, if anything, she's guilty of, if anything at all, but there's a focus now, there's a spotlight on her, and what it's saying is that there were you could say intelligence papers circulated around within Obama's administration before Trump took office, and circulation of those, you could say, very highly classified at times papers were unmasked. And what we mean by that was, we mean that the names that were cited in the intelligence transcripts were unmasked, meaning you could tell who said what. It would be like reading a play, you know, the script of a play, and it would say, Johnny says this and Mary says this. Well, the top echelon of Obama's top insider people, and we're talking about people that would, that have, I mean, the swamp, they're part of the swamp. They got hold and distributed these intercepts, probably by the NSA, of Trump's people and what they were talking about, preparing to go, their transition team going in to the White House. So Obama and them had information on what Trump and them were planning. They circulated intelligence briefings and transcripts based upon their conversations with their names unmasked. And so I think Susan Rice is another name, and two or three others, along with Samantha Power. See, now this is sort of the thinking I'm trying to bring in this couple of Cass Sunstein and Samantha Power. Their thinking is similar. Like what I'm trying to say is that the insiders, and they're not only on the Democratic side here. This is an example I think that's worthy of spending some time on tonight, but they're not only, these elitists not only on this, you know, Democratic progressive left. They're on the Republican right also, the people that are, you could say, organizing to take Trump down. Neither side wants Trump. He's unknown. He's not totally under their control. And as a result, they want him out and gone, see. And that Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, he just nixed that the first day with the executive order, and it was gone. Boy, they didn't like that. The people that he picked for many of the highest positions in the land, we view from the Patriot side as being neocons and so forth. He has a collection of people in there that formerly worked for Goldman Sachs. We know Goldman Sachs had problems over the years, and on the unethical side, or maybe dishonest side, see, we don't, well, there's just too much there. And many of the people worked for Goldman Sachs. They had, now we have people being brought in that are counsel on foreign relations. We have people being brought in that are, have very strong ties and directors of the Davos, see, the World Economic Forum group, see, at Davos that meets in January of every year. These are internationalists that I see. I don't know what good they're going to do, you know, him in the White House, unless they just flip over and just state before they, you know, take their offices, I am no longer a globalist. I am no longer an internationalist. All these people have been groomed for decades into being internationalist and being globalist. This didn't just all of a sudden pop up and these people just, they spent decades, they spent careers researching, looking at foreign relations at the Council on Foreign Relations. They spent years in getting degrees in foreign relations at some of the so-called top, you know, Ivy League schools in the nation. So these are people out there that have virtually spent lifetimes in getting their degrees and getting their mindset and formulating a worldview. This is what I see that is a real problem out there that we're not talking about, is that we have this college and university system, and it's been regimented to where everyone's teaching pretty well the same thing, to where when you graduate from a college or a university, you pretty well have a worldview of the known knowledge there. Everyone's thinking about the same, on the same page, so to speak. And when you think on the same page, then you're not opening yourself up to maintaining liberties and freedoms in this country. It's acting like a machine. It's a big, big machine. And they just graduate people that are little cogs in the big machine, see. That's why when Cass Sunstein attacks the internet as being a threat to democracy, you've got to wake up and you've got to pay attention to what he's saying. Because basically that is a wrong statement. That is a conclusion that is totally wrong for America. It goes against free speech. It actually strengthens the hand of the elitist, like Cass Sunstein and others, and it plays into the hand of the moneyed class, which are the money-dominant, money-powered class in the world. And this is what people have been fighting for years. I mean, you know, the poor working guy being, you know what, manipulated and abused, and his labors are being, you know, taken up for next to nothing. And then if he gets hurt, they throw him out. Well, those are some legitimate complaints and criticisms, see. But it wasn't capitalism that did that. It was crony, monopolistic, Babylonian capitalism that mistreated the poor working people. If you're talking about small business in the country, and I've said this before time and time again, if you're talking about capitalism working for the small business people in America, then that's really the essence where you save some money, you open a storefront in a small shopping center, or you find a small building that you can afford to rent. You open up a business, you start conducting a business, you provide either goods or services that the public wants, and you take care of business, you don't slight anyone, you don't abuse anyone, and you provide good and honest services to those individuals. What's wrong with that? We have the corporate structure has been expanded by size, and that has what has evolved into a real problem. See, you've had a couple of things. You've had the founding of the Federal Reserve that's privately owned, so the creation of money and the had been monopolized by very few entities and groups and companies. And so when you monopolize anything, you're not going to be fair to the general public, see. And so when you had the Fed in 1913, it had a monopoly of money creation, of credit creation. And so what followed from there was a building of a tyranny of insiders. And that's why Ron Paul, in my opinion, deserves so much respect. And Rand Paul, in turn, has gained that from his dad, is that this Fed Reserve is still there at the core of the American problem. It is still entrenched. It is still a viable institution, and it is still privately owned and controlled. And that right there, unless you make any real reform there, then you're not going to move toward this utopian society that everybody is hoping to have, which, in my opinion, will never result anyway. I just do not believe that we can attain a utopia, see. I believe the best thing was when the Founding Fathers, you know, founded the country, they wrote and Declaration of Independence to start with, and then started putting together a constitution, and then later the Bill of Rights would be tacked on at the first congressional meeting, see. And then all of those three documents together would begin to formulate and to establish a form of government that was about as fair as you could get. Yes, the blacks did not have their freedom and the liberties, and the women did not have the vote. This would come later, and it probably came too late in most people's opinion. But we have finally, those groups have gained those rights. The women have gained their right to vote, and the black community is being treated more fairly than they ever have before. Some would argue that some of the social programs have acted conflict or have actually affected the interests of the black community and have not favored them to go out and do things. I believe that the access to capital, and I believe that we should formulate in the future some kind of a Bill of Rights, it would be called a financial Bill of Rights, where individuals, no matter the ethnic background or what you look like, if you could provide a credit history to a bank, then they would provide that loan to you. I think there are some credit, you know, reforms that have been made in the past that favor something like that. I'm talking about something even more absolute than that, where they could not turn you down. But a credit would be available. See, your big companies are crowding out some of the small individuals that need credit from time to time. And even the SBA winds up making loans to big organizations. So it's not as fair as it could be. We're coming to the start of this about 39 minutes and 29 seconds with Todd Fletcher. Again, Charlotte did a fine job. And Todd Fletcher is such a fine person. He has passed away now. He and his wife are both gone. And we really respected both he and his wife and his work out there with Bonnie Faulkner on the West Coast in producing some of their Guns and Butter programming. And Bonnie Faulkner, as far as I know, was one of the few people in public broadcast or public radio that ever covered 9/11 Truth. And I must commend her for that. So, Bonnie Faulkner, amen. You're doing great out there on the West Coast in covering 9/11. And you certainly treated Todd Fletcher with a lot of respect. And I re-listened to some of those memorial statements that y'all made out there. But anyway, I want to thank everyone for listening tonight. And we're on every Saturday night, 7 to 9. Thank you and good night.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler, along with my co-host,
Charlotte Littlefield.
Okay, we've got our next guest coming up is Todd Fletcher. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He's sitting in for David Ray Griffin tonight. David Ray Griffin has experienced some operations and some back problems and recuperating in the hospital and so forth. And he asked his friends, and Todd Fletcher is one of the finest friends of David Ray Griffin and a collaborator on 8 of his books or more, to help him promote this latest book that's just been released, been just published. And the title of that book is Cognitive Infiltration, an Obama Appointee's Plan to Undermine the 9/11 Conspiracy Theory. Todd has assisted David Ray Griffin in the writing of 8 books on 9/11. He also is a co-producer of Guns and Butter, a very popular weekly radio program on KTFA-FM in Berkeley, California. And it's aired many groundbreaking shows on the truth, and especially 9/11 since October 2001. And he has given the public much valuable information. Welcome to our program, Todd Fletcher.
Thank you very much, George.
Well, I tell you what, Charlotte's my co-host there, Charlotte Littlefield.
Hello.
And thank you, Charlotte. Hi there.
Yeah, Todd,
this cognitive infiltration is something else, is it not?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
I mean, this cognitive infiltration book, man, it blows the lid off of what they're doing, does it not?
Yeah, it's quite a book, and it opens up quite an amazing story, really. The title is an odd one, but the words cognitive infiltration come from an article written by a high Obama appointee named Cass Sunstein. He's a lawyer. He's a legal scholar. He was a professor of law at Harvard before he was appointed by President Obama to become the administrator of the White House Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. And he's a personal friend of Obama's. They were professors of law together at the University of Chicago years before, before Sunstein went to Harvard and before Obama went into the Senate. And so they've known each other for a long time. And this term, cognitive infiltration, is Sunstein's term. And it basically summarizes his proposal in an article that he published with a co-author, another professor of law at Harvard University, a junior author named Adrian Vermeule. These two published an article in an academic journal of philosophy called the Journal of Political Philosophy, and they published this article about conspiracy theories. It was called Conspiracy Theories, Causes and Cures. And so to cut to the quick here, because we're talking about this title, his cure for conspiracy theories is what he calls cognitive infiltration. This is his proposal that the government infiltrate conspiracist groups in the United States and break them up. And this is a pretty remarkable proposal. And it's quite complex, this article that he wrote. And it takes someone with the capabilities of David Ray Griffin to take it apart, to show what he's really saying, and to show that there's really no substance to what he's saying. That is, his arguments are faulty. They're deeply flawed. And David Ray Griffin shows all the ways in which these arguments do not stand up to scrutiny. Therefore, his conclusion is not supported by his argument. And so here he is making an unsupported proposal for an illegal operation. This proposal is essentially illegal. So it's quite an amazing situation here.
You know, they can take and twist these attorneys and so forth. They can twist and turn things and make you think that things are white as black and black as white. I mean, this thing called absolutes and getting to the, what we call the truth that both sides of an argument could agree on, is it being muddled around and very too liberally, is it not?
Yeah, he's let's just use Sunstein himself, the senior author, as just to make it easier so we don't have to say they and the two names. Let's just say Sunstein, although he did have a co-author. He uses all the tricks of the trade here. He's both a legal scholar and he was an academic. So he's got academic tools that he uses to make his arguments look plausible, and I suppose he's got some specifically legal approaches. But it doesn't stand up to scrutiny, and Griffin identifies all kinds of flaws in his arguments. But basically, it's a sort of a dense, kind of impenetrable text that has rather Orwellian language in it. He uses a lot of euphemisms. Cognitive infiltration is one of them, and there are others. He doesn't define terms. Sometimes he leaves key terms undefined. Sometimes the terms that he uses shift, you know, the meaning of the words change. He's purporting to provide an academic philosophical analysis of conspiracy theories and the kinds of people who hold conspiracy theories, conspiracy theorists, and in an academic journal of this kind, you know, the assumption is that we're getting a very rigorous, highly, very careful philosophical approach, but it's deeply flawed, and there are gaps in logic. His citations that he cites literature, and a lot of times what he cites actually argues against what he claims. He claims that they support him, but in fact they argue against him, and you know, all kinds of flaws like that Griffin was able to penetrate and pull out and expose to view.
Here's something he states in his Democracy and the Problem of Free Speech. Now, this is one of his books. It says he is concerned by the present situation in which like-minded people speak or listen mostly to one another, and thinks that in light of astonishing economic and technological changes, we must doubt whether, as interpreted, the constitutional guarantee of free speech is adequately serving democratic goals. Well, this guy's something else.
Yeah. Now, that's a good thing that you just read there, because that gives a flavor of how he argues, the sort of deceptive quality, because what he's really getting at there is the notion that the First Amendment should, you know, maybe should be abrogated, you know, should be.
He says reformulated here.
Yeah, reformulated. So he's
actually. What does that mean?
Yeah, it means eliminate. You know,
it means to destroy it.
Yeah, and now this is a legal scholar. He's actually a constitutional scholar. So it's not an argument really, but he's asserting that under some circumstances the First Amendment should be reversed. This is quite remarkable. He's supposedly preeminent in the academic legal field. Apparently he's the most cited legal scholar in the country. He's been spoken of very highly by other Obama appointees like Elena Kagan to the Supreme Court. She's spoken very highly of Cass Sunstein.
Okay, we're going to take a break here and then come right back. But thank you very much, Todd, for being with us this evening. And we'll be back for three more segments. But it's very enlightening, and you make some great comments, insights here. Thank you very much. Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler, along with my co-host,
Charlotte Littlefield, and our guest tonight is Todd Fletcher, assistant to David Ray Griffin in the writing of 8 books on 9/11, also a contributor to Want to Know Info, or I should say wanttoknow.info, and you blog, Todd Fletcher, at 911blogger.com. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
this Cass Sunstein is quite a character, is he not? A work of art. Earlier, he advised George W. Bush about the Military Commissions Act. Then later on, the Supreme Court, under Justice Stevens, held that Bush had no legal authority to create that military commissions. So here is an example of him giving advice to George W. Bush that was absolutely wrong.
That's interesting.
Even as spelled out by our Supreme Court, which in that particular case, they were right.
That's very interesting. I'd like to say something about why David Ray Griffin wrote this book. This article by Sunstein got a lot of attention from the whole spectrum of civil libertarians, people concerned about civil liberties in the country, and it came out earlier in an early draft version that was posted online. So people actually started reading it prior to his appointment by Obama. And his views in this area were known prior to his appointment by President Obama. But the reason beyond Griffin's, thorough intellectual dissection of it, the reason that it's significant for David Ray Griffin to have written the book is that throughout this thing, Sunstein explicitly makes it very clear that the main focus within this broader category of conspiracy theories, the main focus of concern for him is the 9/11, what he calls the 9/11 conspiracy theory. And he says what that is. He basically says it's the theory that the U.S. government was involved in the perpetration of the events of 9/11. In other words, the focus here is on the 9/11 truth movement, and so you get the very clear impression as you read Griffin's book that the concern on his part and the government, perhaps him having been appointed now to the government, concern of the government is, are these theories specifically about 9/11, which consider the government to be involved in the events of 9/11.
Right.
So it's very important that this be clear that Sunstein is focusing specifically on 9/11 truth organizations, and he's proposing that they be infiltrated by government agents.
Todd, everyone in the 9/11 truth movement considers this, and in my opinion, is the most important event to ever occur in American history. And the reason why it's important is the mechanism is taking this country straight into fascism.
It's very clear. I agree with you completely.
That's the problem with it, and that's what makes it so important. And that's why, we've got this psychological public out there that has been trauma-based programmed or something, and they don't want to really face this, Do you run into that?
Oh, sure. Of course, it's impossible not to have, been involved now for years concerned with this very issue, and it's hard to get a hearing from lots of people on this. And, if you start to discuss it, you get a lot of resistance. It's not across the board. Some people don't block it out, but many, many people do block it out. Nevertheless, as time has gone on, the 9/11 truth movement has grown tremendously, and it is really gaining traction, and I think the government is concerned. The government has never tried to answer any of the questions that have been raised by the 9/11 Truth movement, and they've asserted that their own explanation is true, even though they keep changing their explanation in response to facts that are put forward by the 9/11 Truth movement. But they haven't ever debated publicly, and of course the 9/11 Commission, the investigation that it supervised was pretty much a farce. The 9/11 Commission report is, David Ray Griffin calls it a 571-page lie. And it's a work of fiction. It was authored by its executive director, Philip Zelikow, who was a hired intellectual in the Bush-Cheney administration, rather similar to Cass Sunstein, the hired academic here in the Obama administration. And Zelikow, 9/11 Commission report from beginning to end, left all kinds of evidence out. Many people testified at the commission, and their testimony didn't make it into the commission report, not even into the footnotes. The commission report never even mentioned Building 7, the third steel frame skyscraper at the World Trade Center that collapsed into its footprint after 5 o'clock in the afternoon in 6 seconds. And that was never even mentioned in the 9/11 Commission report. So the movement concerned about this important issue, which has such deep implications for our country, it's hurtling toward fascism, as you say. Furthermore, it's aggressive wars. It's launching of wars of aggression, the highest crimes under Nuremberg, under a false pretext that 9/11 was the result of Islamic terrorists attacking the United States, and that out of revenge, the U.S. has the right to, or, you know, not explicitly revenge, but out of, you know, this war on terror, the U.S. has the right to invade any country in the world. The government's concern is that if 9/11 is exposed, if the official explanation is exposed as false, that this will rob them of their pretext for their endless war.
Yeah. You know, our last guest was a historian by the name of Robert Paxton.
Yes.
He actually said, we talked in general about 9/11, but this very accomplished Oxford American historian, Robert Paxton, said that 9/11 was a criminal. It was a criminal event.
No question.
And that's a very important distinction. And, George, I didn't jump in with Robert Paxton, but that is the distinction, because the people that have brought us to this point, they short-circuited our system and they declared it as an act of war.
That's true.
And it's very interesting that that this historian, who doesn't know all the facts about 9/11, still very much viewed it as a criminal concern, not a an act of war.
He could tell that the reaction of the U.S. government was an inappropriate one.
Right. We have no criminal investigation. We have no scientific information. We have no crime scene evaluation. We have witness testimony that's not been looked at.
Yeah.
That's
very well summarized. Was Mr. Paxton aware of all of those things that you just listed?
No, and we weren't able to bring that up, but he wrote the book, The Anatomy of Fascism.
He seemed to warn us about these individual freedoms and rights. You know, we ask him for advice at the end. We've got to take another break here, Todd. We'll be right back, but thank you for being with us this evening. Right back. Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler, along with
Charlotte Littlefield. And welcome back to our special guest, who's here representing David Ray Griffin and his new book, Cognitive Infiltration, Todd Fletcher.
Thanks very much. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, Todd, COINTELPRO seems to pop up in my head. Is this new operation, I mean, it's right out of the president's office, is it not? Right out there in the office of the presidency, right there next to him?
I'm not sure. Are you saying is Sunstein's office?
I'm saying this operation, supposedly run by Cass Sunstein, is it being operated within the office of the presidency as
well,
an assistant?
Well, it's a White House office, and it's somewhere in the White House. The term COINTELPRO does keep coming up because when you look at the proposal that Sunstein makes for penetration by secret government agents into these groups, into 9/11 truth groups, that's his principal focus, as he admits, it seems similar to what used to go on in the United States when the FBI operated what's now known as COINTELPRO, counterintelligence program was their term. COINTELPRO was their short term for it. And this was during the late 50s and the 1960s. That's when it really took off. And they were infiltrating anti-war groups during the Vietnam War. They were infiltrating civil rights groups, socialist organizations, with secret agents who posed as genuine members, whose identities were not known to the other members, and whose affiliation with the government and whose purpose in being there was a secret. And what they did in all these different kind of groups, this also included Black Power groups and Native American activists, what they did was they sowed disagreement within the groups, and they did it in a variety of ways. They started rumors about each other, about other people, and they broke down the trust that the people had so that they couldn't trust one another and they couldn't work effectively. And in some cases, there were, serious arguments, fights that broke out, and the groups broke up. And this was all through these government agents, these provocateurs, who were making operations very difficult. Well, the new proposal, cognitive infiltration, is a sort of a modern form of this. For example, the 9/11 truth community is largely organized on the Internet. It's not so much people living nearby and meeting together physically as it's people organized around websites and other Internet locations. And so cognitive infiltration is one of the things that this includes, is the and it's quite explicit in Sunstein's article, is the penetration of these organizations and their presence on the Internet under false identities to sow what he calls cognitive diversity. This is his term. These agents are to create cognitive diversity where there had been earlier cognitive consensus and agreement about what facts mean, an interpretation of a body of fact. So the purpose of these agents would be to question the facts, to question the interpretation of the facts, to provide counter interpretations that then break up consensus, and from there break up the effectiveness of the groups. He does also call for penetration of local physical groups as well. It's not just the Internet, but it's very similar to COINTELPRO. It's also similar to COINTELPRO from the standpoint that these are illegal activities that he's calling for. In 1971, Congress stopped COINTELPRO and passed laws to prevent this kind of thing. Those laws have been weakened since September 11th, but they haven't been completely overturned. And it seems to be the consensus of people who've studied Sunstein's article that the operation that he's recommending with this bogus argument is illegal. So here we have one of the most highly respected legal scholars in the country calling for an illegal operation. This is a very odd thing. It's rather out of character, one would think. And it seems to be a political service that he's providing to President Obama, although the first draft was before he was appointed.
Well, I would think that this is noting that it's out of character and it's illegal and it's going in the wrong direction. I say that's one more step towards fascism. What would you say, George?
Yeah, it is. I mean, but that's I mean, the problem that they have that I see right now is 9/11. The 9/11 truth movement can be their undoing of their whole power base. That's why they must attack it and destroy it. That's why 9/11 truth movement is the most important movement in this country we've ever had. 9/11 was a very heinous, very evil, ingeniously conceived evil act. But in essence, after that, then there is a mechanism through the 9/11 truth movement to undo their power base.
And
that's what they fear the most, see? That's why they're after 9/11 truth.
I'm worried about Richard Gage and AE 9/11 truth, because it's really hard to argue with science and physics. And I just worry about the people supporting New York City CAN and AE 9/11 and all the people that have the major websites. I'm concerned for their physical safety and for their emotional and mental well-being.
I agree with you, Charlotte. And Todd Fletcher, along with David Ray Griffin, if I'm not mistaken, did not some of those first books, were they imprinted by or published by a Presbyterian press?
Only one of David Griffin's books on 9/11 has been published by the Presbyterian Press. That's the WJK. I forget. The book is Christian Faith and the Truth Behind 9/11. That was his third 9/11 book. It came right after the 9/11 Commission report, Omissions and Distortions. And that was published by WJK, which is a publishing house of that's Westminster John Knox. The name just came back to me. That's part of the Presbyterian Publishing. Yes, that's true. Now, why did you wonder about that?
Well, I'm a Presbyterian, and all these Presbyterians gave me feedback on this early on. Charlotte makes a very interesting and a very important point, is that David Ray Griffin was one of the first with stature and yourself with scholar and good research, and others like Richard Gage that came forward, and Stephen Jones and Niels Harriet, you know, that came forward with credentials you could not argue against. And that has given the credibility that 9/11 truth did not have before, even though actually Alex Jones has been probably the father of the 9/11 truth movement, but he did not have those credentials that can be put forward to the general public now. Without Alex, we wouldn't even be here talking about tonight on this subject.
I agree. Alex's contribution has been tremendous.
He was there very early because he got us here.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Alex, he claims at least that he even predicted it before it happened. I'm not sure about that, but I've heard that summer.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. These professional organizations that have developed, like architects and engineers, and now we've got scientists for 9/11 truth, pilots for 9/11 truth, military officers for 9/11 truth, intelligence professionals for 9/11, it goes on and on and on. I think that these highly competent and credentialed people have really made a big impact, even though they're not talked about in the mainstream press, and even though David Ray Griffin's books, which I think were very important for the creation of these groups, because I think the first step was folks read his books and then they formed these organizations.
Richard Gage?
But not one of these books has ever been reviewed in an American mainstream journal of any kind.
Are they listening to one of your programs out there? Hey, we'll be right back. But they listened to your program, and that was instrumental too out there. Okay? We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler, along with my esteemed co-host.
Thank you, George. Charlotte Littlefield, and welcome back to our special guest and representative tonight of David Ray Griffin, Todd Fletcher.
Thanks again.
So, gentlemen, this is pretty serious. How's the book being received? Do you know, Todd?
I think it's being very well received. There's a lot of interest in it. You know, you can get a feeling for that at Amazon, where there are already 19 reviews. It's only been out for 3 weeks, I guess it's been 4 weeks now, and there are already 19 reviews, and they're not the usual, you know, they've all, you can tell the folks have read the book before reviewing it. It's getting a lot of interest, and I think it's because the issue is so important here. And there are other things that are related. I'd like to mention the recent FBI raids on the anti-war organizations in Minneapolis and Chicago, because I think that a point about that is that this point was made by Paul Craig Roberts. Are you folks fans of Paul Craig Roberts?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I've interviewed him before, yeah.
Yeah, and he's a very, very fine man and a very intelligent man, and he recently says that he thinks that these raids are preparing the public for a comparable crackdown on 9/11 truth activists. He came right out and said this on a video, on an interview that was done on television. It was Russia Today, which has got a news program, and they interview him rather often. And, you know, from a standpoint, you'll never see him interviewed like that here in the United States, but in Europe they can do things like that. So he connects those raids in of the FBI on these anti-war groups with the 9/11 truth movement, and here we have this high Obama appointee providing an argument for the breakup of 9/11 truth organizations. And I think that, you know, the points that you were making in the last segment about the power of the that Richard Gage and the architects and engineers are putting out there so very well, it's becoming increasingly clear, I believe, to the government that they've got a serious problem on their hands. And unfortunately, rather than open things up and start to answer questions, they start coming up with rationales for shutting people down and suppressing questions. And this article by Sunstein is a perfect example of that. It's crafted so that the possibility that the government might engage in an open forum with its critics in a debate where experts on both sides, government experts prepared to defend the government's position and experts who would like to criticize that position, could in a public forum lay out the facts, discuss them, and come to some kind of closure, you know, or some kind of progress at the very least. The government won't have anything to do with it, and the article by Sunstein categorically states that this is a waste of time because people in the 9/11 truth movement, he says, are resistant to correction. They're biased against information coming from the government, and so there's no point in the government undertaking anything like this. Therefore, the only thing that can be done, because these groups threaten, the BE calls 9/11 community extremist, prone to violence, likely to engage in terrorist acts. I mean, it really gets very extreme. That because they're such a threat, and he says that they threaten to undermine the public's support for government undertakings. Well, that sounds like the wars. The government is really very seriously considering draconian, fascistic, as you say, responses to the situation they find themselves in, the fact that the community of 9/11 truth is growing so fast. And, of course, Richard Gage has been a big part of that as well, as you mentioned.
Right.
Yeah. Those are very serious claims. And we just need to continue communicating, continue looking out for each other, speaking up. You know, we've known about agent provocateurs since the very beginning. And so I think we're going to be a really hard group, honestly, because scientific information, I mean, well, it's a technical matter, you know, 1 + 1 = 2.
Mm-hmm.
And football speeds and the things you see under the microscope, I mean, these things are going to be very hard to refute.
They sure are. And people who've learned about these things, they're resistant to correction because they have what now amounts to knowledge. This knowledge, you know, someone who knows something is obviously going to resist when someone comes along and tells him that it's not true. You know, knowledge is, as Griffin explains in his book, justified true belief. And some of the conclusions of the 9/11 community now have really you know, come very close to, if not completely reached, the status of knowledge. And the physical evidence is the classic example of that, when you find the Building 7 falling at free fall speed for 2.25 seconds, as is now admitted by the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Well, a building can't fall at free fall unless all the support has been removed simultaneously, which can only be done with explosives. And then they found, as you've mentioned, they found the residue of the explosives in analyses of the dust. Well, these are incontrovertible physical facts. So, you know, you're going to find resistance to correction in people who understand that these are facts.
The laws of physics exist outside of what we think they might be, right?
Yes,
I mean, they are what they are,
and
you know.
Some of
natural
the defenders
laws,
of
right?
the official some of the defenders of the official account have actually resorted to saying that the laws of physics are highly variable and you can't rely upon them. I mean, it's that extreme.
Well, you know, the founding fathers were based in natural law too, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so this is ironic that we would use a natural law of physics to try to buoyant our argument, very, very well, you know, to reinforce it and to make it, a valid argument.
Yeah, but it shows that the founding fathers were right.
Well, you know, that right to defend oneself is a natural right.
Well, perhaps, gentlemen, we should set up some sort of counter intelligence operation, and we should set up a report database, and where we can start tracking potential infiltrators. Because, you know, if somebody asks a stupid question 5 times and then tries to assert a different perspective or a different you know, and we could say, well, no, 1 + 1 = 2.
Mm-hmm.
They're going
to
have
a hard
time.
Yeah, I think we're pretty savvy, and I don't think they're going to find it very easy to break up these justified true beliefs on our part. Yeah, you know, the thing that's different here is the 9/11 Truth Community is not an ideological group. These are people of all different political orientations coming together around facts and around concern for their countries. The horrific things that have happened, who's done them, and the fact that everything is carrying forward uncorrected. So, you know, it's
that
not
raises
like...
A yeah.
Go ahead.
That raises a question, Todd, concerning this group of people, politically group, like the liberal Democrats, I guess you could describe. Are they coming over to 9/11 Truth?
I would say... No, I would say the liberal Democrats are not much friendlier to 9/11 Truth than say, you know, mainstream Republicans, conservatives. I've actually found that what's called the progressive element in the population, the left of center and the alternative progressive media, have actually been the most insistent that the government account is true and the least open to any kind of questioning. Guns and Butter, our radio program out here in Berkeley at KPFA-FM, it's the only program on the station that will talk about 9/11 Truth. And Bonnie Faulkner, the host, takes a tremendous amount of heat because she continues to cover the story as a good journalist should. She has very high journalistic standards, and she's not backing down. But it's a real battle for her, and has
well, what group abandoned Cindy Sheehan and her peace movement? What group was that?
I'm sorry, I don't know, George.
That would be interesting to delve into, because there was a group that just turned their back on her. You know what
I'm sorry, I don't know about that.
Okay. Hey, Todd, thank you very much. We've come to the end of our program. We certainly appreciate all the hard work you've done and all the research and stuff and help you've given David Ray Griffin. And we certainly wish you luck and goodwill in the future. And we're going to do this. We stick with it. We tell the truth. And we're going to get some people on our side.
And Todd, send him our best wishes for a speedy recovery.
I sure will. And thank you so much for having me on. It was a great pleasure.
Pleasure.